This is Patrice for Chico Soul. This week, a changemaker feature about Black resiliency project leaders, the Supreme Court's affirmation of birthright citizenship, and staff changes at Chico City Hall. Chico Soul marked the 4th of July and the nation's 250th anniversary with a changemaker feature showcasing community contributions by a local African American organization. That organization, the Black Resiliency Project, focuses on harm reduction to alleviate problems faced by many community members regardless of race. Ife Saint, who coordinates several resiliency actions, explains.
Can I just say,
yeah,
harm reduction, you know? There's health and harm reduction. There's many avenues you can take that, you know? It's feeding the unhoused. It's even bringing, we have these, one thing that we do out of the church with me and Pastor Morton is that I have these packs, you know, like warm packs. It's getting cold and windy outside right now. And even last night I gave out a few because I've seen people on the street with like a cart or just like a blanket over them. Like, you know, they're really struggling. And these packs I have like hand warmers in them, flashlights, you know, gloves, beanies, scarves. There is harm, you know, in our communities. There's hurt in our communities. And so, you know, even a little bit helps, like, to a great degree.
Rachel Morton, founder of the Black Resiliency Project, also shared her feelings about growing up as a person of color in Chico. Here, she speaks about the project's origin.
Yeah, like, we show up for us because representation is important, but we show up for everybody because resilience is important for everybody. So it was Father's Day, 2019, and I'm sitting at home, and I hop online, and this was after the senseless murder of George Floyd, and I see conversations that are just blatantly racist and heartbreaking and attacking, and people are fighting online, and it bothered me, deeply bothered me, and I was like, we need a safe space to have these conversations without people that are bringing, you know, negativity to it, for lack of a better word. And so,
toward the end of Chico Soul editor Leslie Layton's interview with Ife Saint and Rachel Morton, Saint spoke about issues most African Americans have in tracing their family history and noted others may face similar obstacles.
There's a real, like, real felt disconnect when you have no idea where your family is from. You know, a lot of you know, Black people, you know, African American people whose you know, ancestors or even like as close as their great grandmother was enslaved, they have no way to find out like where their people are from. And at this point, it's like a reset. You're American now, and you know, even in that, you're not treated as if you're a full American. You know what I mean? It's like not having an identity can be really detrimental to your personal identity, because that's just a piece that you're missing. People can always go back to, oh, my family is like this or my family is like that, but if you have no family traditions because your traditions were stripped from you, you start over with whatever's going on in the world or whatever's going on in your area. And yeah, so like I'm very grateful that I can trace my culture back to Haiti and beyond, but not everyone can do that.
Yeah.
Most people can't in the Black community. They can't trace the culture back. It's just like, well, eventually their grandma or great grandmother was freed and they settled down wherever they were at, and now that's their community.
Yeah.
Nothing further back than that.
Sam.
And look, throw in foster care or.
Yeah.
Those other life experiences, that makes it that much farther from identifying.
I guess because of foster care, it isn't only Black communities that can feel this way.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's a shared feeling. Like, people can understand, people can relate to not knowing who your family is.
While the Black Resiliency Project grew out of the Afro-American community, Morton is adamant that her organization serves everyone. It provides services across all demographics, she said. It provides unhoused people with needed supplies. It provides food to them and others. And it helps parents to navigate support for special needs children in the school system. All that and more. By the way, although African Americans comprise less than 3% of Butte County's population, that small percentage adds up to a significant 5,000 individuals. American Community Media picked up Layton's Black Resiliency Changemaker story, making it available to other publications and broadcast members throughout the state. Collaboration with American Community Media also allowed Chico Sol to report, in both Spanish and English, the Supreme Court's rejection of President Trump's attempt to block citizenship for some people born in the United States. The AECOM report stated that the Supreme Court's 6-3 decision on June 30th, affirming the bedrock constitutional principle of birthright citizenship, is a crucial and, in this current climate, exceedingly rare victory for immigrants and all Americans. Chief Justice John Roberts affirmed the historical importance of the decision, AECOM reported, declaring, quote, "Citizenship then and now was the right to have rights, to freely participate in our political community. The framers of the 14th Amendment extended that promise to every free-born person in this land. We keep that promise today," unquote. Finally, there are changes afoot at Chico City Hall. After 6 years as the city's top administrator, Mark Sorensen will step down as the city manager this Friday. Prior to his management post, Sorensen served on both the City Council and the Planning Commission, adding up to nearly 2 decades of local public service. Assistant City Manager Eric Gustafson will take over as interim city manager pending the arrival of the new manager July 27th. Gillian Hayen, who is leaving her post as Vallejo Assistant City Manager for the top Chico position, told reporters she has lifelong ties here.
So my mom graduated from high school here, and my parents both went to Butte College. My mom's 4 brothers and sisters also came up to Chico State.
Okay.
And they never left, as you saw some of the audience members, aunts, uncles, and cousins. Mm-hmm. So I've got 5 aunts and uncles here in Chico and all of the respective cousins. So about somewhere around 15 or 16 households of family.
Wow.
And then let alone friends, because I've been coming here since I was in my mother's womb, you know, obviously doing family events. And so every year at Thanksgiving, we're up in Cohasset at my one uncle's, and, you know, Fourth of July, we've done the parades. I'm familiar with the farmer's market, the street system. All of it is like old home to me.
Sure.
Because I've kind of grown up here with all my family here. So I think people don't know that about me yet, and so that'll be exciting to just kind of ease some of the, is this a stranger? Is this an outsider? Mm-hmm. Yes, I wasn't born here, but I was basically raised here for the last, you know, large portion of my 48 years of life. So for me,
while many family members were present to support Hayen at the 5-2 confirmation vote Tuesday, her welcome to Chico was not without a couple of bumps. Several community members questioned the city's vetting process in choosing her for the position and criticized the size of her pay and benefits. Council members Dale Bennett and Michael O'Brien voted against the appointment. Bennett noted that he had lobbied for Chico's current police chief to be the new city manager. Chico Sol reporters are now working to update both the city manager story as well as how the Supreme Court's birthright decision resonates with and impacts people in Butte County. This has been Patrice for Chico Sol. Follow the latest at chicosol.org. At chicosol.org, you can also subscribe to our free weekly newsletter, The Little Sun, to get notified about new content and hear directly from our writers. That's chicosol.org.